Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park. Let's turn our attention to that 10th chapter of Romans, and we're going to pick up the reading at verse number 14, and then we're going to read down through verse number 17. 14 through 17 is where we're going to turn our spotlight in this worship experience. Romans 10, 14 through 17, New Living Translation. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Amen. You may go to your certain seats around the building. We look in this wonderful experience of worship. Of course, that 17th verse is a verse that we revisit. So faith comes from hearing. And that is hearing the good news about Christ. We're talking in this service, you better take this seriously. You better take this seriously. Looking for all of our watchers who are sharing with us from so many different corridors, and again, we're grateful for all who are sharing. One of my scriptures, a scripture that you need to know, underline, highlight, and again, I'm one that, even though I love technology, I don't want us to get away from the written word. We're going to change phones. I'm waiting for the iPhone 13. And once it comes out, I plan to jump in. I usually skip a few generations, and then I wait for the next one. And so the next one, which will come in, will be the 13. I might get a 12, but more than likely, I've been holding out for the 13. So I say that to say that many of you say, I have my phone, but 10 years from now, you won't have that phone. And you say, well, I transfer my data. Y'all not that good. You're not going to transfer all of that. But you keep a Bible, and even in my office downstairs, I have my Bible that I went to college with. I look at it every time I walk into this church as my reminder of that was the Bible you carried with you to your college dorm. And that was the Bible I was getting on the bus going to worship one Sunday morning like today, and it was raining. And I dropped my Bible in the water. The pages are still wrinkled from that, but it still, again, speaks to my spirit. There are things you need to take seriously. Many of us in this service and setting can think about parents and persons who sought to guide us spiritually. It was not always an easy road for us. It could have been a struggle. Well, we don't have to put it in the past tense. It can still be a struggle today. Because once you make that decision to take faith seriously, you have to also understand the spiritual wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That could be the easy wrestling when you can identify where the attack is coming from, where the pressure is coming from. Happy birthday, Deacon McCormick. We've been talking about you this week. So we understand this is something that we must take seriously. Taking seriously because we don't know what's next. We don't know when we're going to need God. Well, let me back up from that. We need him every hour. But there are moments when we don't think we need him. We think we've got it. We think all things are under control. But many of you know, one phone call can totally shift your life. One event can take all of those well-made plans and move them in a different direction. You better take this seriously. But when I look at this particular passage in Romans chapter 10, I'm encouraged by those verses which I read, but I also don't want you to miss out on the verses I did not read. In your private time, I encourage you to read the entire chapter. Verse number 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That sense, that need for salvation. Romans 10:10 says, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God." It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Those are anchor verses that we need to make sure are a part of the late words of the Reverend Dr. Manuel Scott Sr., who would say you need to have that in your spiritual knapsack. Certain things that you need to realize. Openly declaring your faith. I'm saved, therefore I can articulate salvation. Not I think I'm saved. Not I think I hope I'm going to heaven. But once you are one who studies the Word of God, that will help you to understand and to take out the guesswork. Typically, persons will talk about their opinions, but we're not talking about opinions. We're talking about what does God's word say? The average person who will get into a conversation to you about church and God, one thing I want you to notice in that conversation is that they will not quote scripture. Or they will quote scripture out of context, and they will use that as a pretext to con you, because you have to understand that the Word of God was not designed for you to make it like your custom suit. The Word of God is designed so that I can become now more like God, more like Jesus, who is the model, sets the template for what we need to do and how we live our lives in this spiritual world. So yes, a person is going to say, I don't need to come to church. Well, the Bible says, forsake not the assembly.
Person said, all I got to do is believe in God. No, quote a scripture to that. Because every answer that we need is right here in the Word of God. It was once mentioned by the late Dr. C.L. Franklin that many times, one of the books that we do not look at and we do not open is simply the Word of God. There are secrets. There are things that God wants to reveal to us, but we must open it up and read it. Study. I'm talking to the discipleship family to show yourself, to prove unto God, workman, workwoman, who needs not be ashamed. That is the directive that is given to everyone, and you, my brothers and sisters, we must take this seriously. I'm taking it seriously. And you're taking it seriously. That's why you got up this morning. For those in-house, you have dodged raindrops, umbrellas, all those kind of things. Your hookup was messed up because of the weather and all of that. But we start taking seriously our faith. Three areas we're going to investigate in our time together today. And we get ready this week to baptize, and you can watch that baptism on this upcoming Wednesday at 6:30. You can turn on all of our feeds, and we'll be going down into the liquid stream with those candidates right into to my right. And so we have this understanding, you better take this seriously. Seriously. Here it is. Number one, being Christ-centered is essential. It's essential not to be pastor-centered, because now we have pulpits that are now being filled by celebrities. With matter of fact, we have turned them into celebrities. But the reality of it is we need to worship God. It is not the pastor that we're worshiping. It's the God. Who woke you up this morning? It was the Lord who woke you up this morning. Nothing but the grace of God. Secondly, there are those who will not accept the good news of Jesus. Some folk don't want to have good news. They want to be in a spiritual pity party. But that ought not stop you. Their downness does not have to affect your upness. Because you have to realize you've got to give people something to strive for. I can look at you and know you've had to deal with a diagnosis. You've had to deal with some challenges in your life. But yet, you can still smile. Yet, you can still have joy. Yet, you can pick yourself back up, dust yourself off, and keep on moving in a positive direction. There are those who will not accept the good news of Jesus. But then thirdly, we need to hear the message of Jesus as much as possible. You can't get too much Jesus. You can get too much ice cream, too many calories, but you can't get too much Jesus. Oh, no. Every word I can hear, and it's always refreshing when persons are excited to talk about Jesus. I mean, there are a whole lot of folk talking about a whole lot of things today, but it's exciting when a person wants to talk about how great God is. Talk about every mountain you've been able to come through, every valley that God has been able to pick you up, and every time you got to a dark place, how God can show up. Our prayers go out to Simone Biles. Our prayers go out to any person, persons who are taking their lives and doing all these kinds of things. Our prayers go out to them. We take it seriously. And I'm grateful. Somebody in here now, you're praying for a family member, a child, that they would not stray, or that strayed child would come back into the fold and know that Jesus is the way. I know they're sleeping now. They're not watching anything on. They're not watching spiritual things, but we're praying that something would awaken in their spirit, that something would stir them up to let them know that there's something missing in my life. And if you have some persons in your life who can call you this afternoon and talk about the Lord and talk about their connection and worship. You can praise God for that willingness and openness to the Word of God. Well, there are three areas we're going to look at. We'll unpack it and deal with it. Number one, being Christ-centered is essential. There are things, matter of fact, we're getting ready to shove our son off to college, less than a month. And, of course, he's a little more casual than his sister was. She was lining things up. He just kind of thinks it's all going to just fall together. Amen. So we've got to sort of nudge, maybe push him, that we got to start getting things together. We don't want to wait till the last minute and when things are then gone. But we want to start thinking now and start thinking ahead. But you have to realize, and so now is the time to get the things that you think are essential. And when you look at your spiritual journey, what is essential is being Christ-centered. Not I'm a member of the church, because if that's the only connection you have, that's not going to hold you. When you get into your dark moments, just saying my name's on the roll is not enough. There's a whole lot of folk whose names are on the roll here. But more importantly, is your name on the roll there? And I thank God for those who have their name on the roll here and their name on the roll there. Now I say that because there's some people who want to say that I got my name on the roll there, but I'm not going to have my name on anybody's roll here. But if you are a believer, you ought to want to be connected to other believers. I'm looking last night at the United States Olympic team and the swim team and their togetherness and as they were in the relay and they looked in the stands and they saw all the rest of the swim team rooting them on. We are a team. And when you are a part of a team, it's a blessing that others can help to root you on. I'm encouraged when I see your faces. That's why I've got to walk through and got to look at some of your eyes. And I'm encouraged. We strengthen one another. Iron has the ability to sharpen iron. We are stronger because of the sense of togetherness, the power of being able to come together. And so we're being Christ-centered. Being Christ-centered, being Word-centered. Romans chapter 10, verses 14, 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? You can't call for help if you don't know him. Well, you can call for help if you don't know him, but it's best to know him. And how can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? I need for you to share the good news. I shared with you earlier. For some persons, all you have to do is park your car up high. You don't have to say a word. But we want to have persons to come and hear the Word of God. I want to hear the Word of God. I want to hear. And not only do I want to hear the Word of God, but I want to do the Word. I want to have the Word and have it to live out in my life. I want folk to be saved. I want folk to come and say, and how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That's the responsibility. And you don't have to be Reverend, Doctor, Apostle, Prophet to do it. You can be a believer. Praise, I'm just a member. You are a child of God. And so whether you are in the back, KK, the light can shine through your life. Got to take this thing seriously. That 15th verse ends up coming right behind it, and it says, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say how beautiful the feet of the messengers who bring good news. They talk about, they're studying the amount of persons dropping out of ministry. There are many studies that are going on right now. The persons who are dropping out of ministry, and if you read it, even the persons who are in ministry who end up taking their own lives. They're also predicting that after this pandemic, that there will be a rush of persons retiring from the pulpits because of the stress that they have experienced over these last 17 months. You don't see it. You don't see all of the behind the scenes things, all of the meetings, all of the prayers, all of the decisions, but it's talking about all of the persons who are experiencing burnout. And then as a result of that, I'm hearing more and more persons are talking about sabbaticals and time off and learning all of these kinds of things.
I know y'all looking at me. You trying to figure out is Reb getting ready to try to ease in an idea? Don't try me on that now. Amen.
I've learned, Marquette, to try to do some things that relax me. I know how to do that. That's why I run. It's a wonderful. It's activity. It's getting it out. And some of you, we've had conversations and do it while I'm running. Vernell, she's driven past me while I'm out. That's relaxing for me. I can sleep good at night. Thank you, Jesus. But you have to understand that the importance of getting the word of God out. Now, I have learned this thing in the pandemic is to pace myself. You can't be everywhere and you can't meet everyone's desire. Amen. You love to. I do not have a clone. A couple of weeks ago, I could not be in two places, but I realized with our vacation Bible school, I have a cutout. And I let my cutout attend the event.
Y'all.
Yeah, I was in New York, but my cutout was here. And I got my cutout downstairs. And I had a conversation with him. And before I walked up today, I said, you still going to have some more assignments where I'm going to put you in some certain places where I can't be. So, but the word of the God has to be essential to everything that we do. Because at the end of the day, you all don't need to see your pastor come up here broken down, beaten up. Straggly, raggedy? No! Come on. You need somebody to come look like the gospel that you're getting ready to share. Look like you're excited about what God is about to do. You have expectation that God is going to break through the barriers. Just like he's broken through my barriers. He's still breaking through barriers. And so we think it up. You better take this seriously. A whole lot of folk. We went to church again, and I'm a witness to that. Going to church, I went. My parents said we going, and I wasn't taking it seriously. I came to sleep. I came to play games. I used to pack my toys. I mean, I had no intention of hearing what the minister had to say. I was playing my games, and I could tell when things were shutting down. And we didn't have these kind of seats here. I don't know how I would have operated in this setting because I wouldn't have known where to play. We had the old-fashioned wooden pew. And the old-fashioned wooden pew, you could have some great games on the pew. These customized seats, I'd have had a problem. I'd have had to go down on the floor or something to have my game. But I was not coming thinking that I want to hear the word of God. I came. I put sunglasses on. I took sunglasses to church. And when the preacher got up, I put my sunglasses on. And it had nothing to do with George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. I put my sunglasses on because I was going to sleep. Matter of fact, and I've shared the story before, that I'd gotten to the point, because I hadn't given my life to Christ. And Communion Sunday would come along, and the deacons would reach across me, and they said, "Get us to that one." You know, they reached communion. That's when the deacons knew everybody who was in. I don't know how they would know that. How they know I'm not in that? And so I said, "Nope, that's fine." Deacon reached over me, gave the bread, gave the plate to somebody else. I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "Next week I'll bring my own bread." And I put it in a little plastic bag. And when we kept communion that next week, and the deacon reached across me, and I said, "No problem." And the pastor said, all right, let us eat together. I pulled out my little baggie. I was sitting right there, and I ate my bread. Then he said, okay, we're going to drink together. Now, y'all going to try to figure it out. What'd you do for that one? All right, I was ready for him because I had my hand in the form of a cup. So let us drink together. But I wasn't taking it seriously. I was there, but wasn't serious for me. I used to laugh in church. I used to laugh at the folk in church. It wasn't serious for me. I remember one time, it was offering time. I said, I took one of the envelopes in the seat, and I had brought some, my mother had a necklace that had broken up, and the beads were all around. And I grabbed the beads together, and I put them in a little baggie, and I said, I'm going to put them in the offering. And I put the envelope up, and I said, I'm going to put a pseudo name. John Smith, send it on in. I was giggling the whole time. I wasn't taking it seriously. I didn't take it seriously, but I should have realized that that day my dad was one of the ones counting the money. And we got to the car, and we got in. He pulled into his seat, looked back at me, and he pulled out an envelope. He handed it to me. He said, does it look familiar to you? I don't know who this is. He said to me, he didn't wait for the correct answer. He says, we'll take care of this when we get home. I know this is you. I know this is your work. I didn't take it seriously. There's a whole lot of us, we have come to church and we haven't taken it seriously. Sunday was the time when our family, we would have to say, my mother always fixed a big breakfast on Sunday. We didn't have 7:30 services, so we had a big breakfast in the morning. 9:30 Sunday school. Some of y'all, that's the churches we came out of. 9:30 was Sunday school, 11 o'clock was church. That's where we came out of. And so my mother would fix a big breakfast. My father would say a long prayer. He'd bring the big Bible out, read the Bible, say a long prayer. Then everybody had to say a Bible verse. Why? I wasn't taking it seriously, but God was shaping. You are going through what you go through because God is taking you through that, shaping you into who you are right now. You are, matter of fact, every one of you under the sound of my voice and those of you here, you had to get to a level of seriousness. This is not the casual service. It's not the casual time. You know, today for the casual person is a good sleeping day. And for those of us who are serious, it's a good sleeping day for us too. And we felt it, but we pushed ourselves because we said, I need to be in worship. I need to hear a word from God. I've heard all the things in the news. I need to hear a word from God. Christ-centered. I need to hear about Jesus. And I'm thanking God that when I hear about Jesus, I realize it's essential. The second thing is, there are those who will not accept the good news of Jesus. There are folk who come to church who don't accept it. They're in the house, but they don't accept it. I'm saying to you, my brother, my sister, that you need to take this seriously. Every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus is Lord. Take it seriously. He sits high, but he looks low. Take it seriously. He can make a way out of no way. He takes it seriously that he's still a miracle worker. I got a call the other night, night of prayer, with Brother James Cunningham, who played drums here for many years, and he's now in need of a heart transplant. He said, I need for you to pray for me. I need you to pray.
You don't know what challenge is coming your way. You don't know how you're going to be faced and pushed up against the wall, and your faith could potentially be shaken. But if I'm anchored and it comes, I can react differently. There was a young man who used to sing in our church, and he ended up, he ended up having pancreatic cancer, and he fought the battle. Matter of fact, he stayed longer than he was. It was predicted he would stay. But he was pushing. And he said, I'm going to keep on pushing. Because ultimately, everything is in God's hands. I'm thanking God for every person who can accept the good news. Sometimes what is going to happen is that you're going to have to go through some experiences. And those experiences will serve as a reminder that you should have listened. Life can whip you. Life can twist you. Things that you counted on don't work out. Persons who are committed to their job, and then the job downsizes. You're committed to a job, and then you start getting frustrated because others are getting promotions and you're not. Some of you have been in jobs where it has been your boss who looked like you, who was working so hard to not seem as if they were giving you an advantage, but they ended up disadvantaging you. There are those who don't accept the good news. I remember sitting in one of my history classes at Norfolk State. One of our professors, he came into class smoking a pipe, and he's teaching us history. Matter of fact, I can remember him, getting ready to call his name, Ernest, but I'm not going to call it. But he came in smoking his pipe, and he was really throwing out everything that was biblical. And I heard somebody yell out to him, says, "Do you go to church?" He says, "Every Sunday." He said, "You might," and they were, we were like, "Man, if you in church, but all of this, these wild thoughts and wild philosophies, all this kind of stuff." And he was smoking his pipe. And I walked out of his history class, and I walked into another history class that was taught by a man who didn't look like me. And he told us, gave us his, he said, how does a white man end up teaching at a black, predominantly black school? He says, and he told us in class, he says, "I'm not white." I said, "Well, everything about you looks white." I mean, you know, in Virginia, there are some folk who can look a certain way, but he said, no. He says, "You need to understand." He says, "In my first life, I was African, and this is my second life. I've been reincarnated." He says, "My first life, I was a slave. I was there on the beaches of Africa. And they were getting ready to bring me to America, and I stuffed sand down my throat and I killed myself. This is my second life." We looked at each other. I said, "What kind of class are we in here today?" And I used to argue with him. I used to get into, you know, argue. I said, "I'm going back and forth." I remember we were talking about the Red Sea. He said, "Oh no, That's not true." He said, "It's a sea of reeds." And the sea of reeds, he said, "We can go over there now. Both of us can walk across." I said, but how does that explain how folk drown?" He didn't have an answer for that. I said, "What about Jesus? What about Lazarus getting up from the grave and Lazarus dying, getting back up?" That's all. Listen, he said, he was laying in that tomb for 3 days, hadn't taken a bath. He wasn't dead. They just woke him up. I said, "Wait a minute." And I said to myself, Gary, I said, "This guy." And I said, "Let me just write down what he wants me to say. And I know that's not what I believe, but I'm going to put it down in paper." There are those who don't accept. And then, matter of fact, I had so convinced him, Ron,
that he said, I want you to go to church with me on Sunday. I was like, whatever kind of church you go to on Sunday is not the kind of church I want to go to. He says, I go to several places. I go to the Universal Church, and I also go to the Church of the Christian Scientists. I said, I'm tied up. I said, I've got commitments. Forgive me, Kyle. I said, I have commitments. I have to be somewhere else. Because there are those who will not accept the good news. Romans 10:16 says, and here it is. It says it very clearly, but not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? King James, our report. Who has believed it? There are those who have not believed. My third point is, we need to hear the message of Jesus as much as possible. That's why we try to come to church and hear the word of God. That's why you're listening online right now, because we need to hear as much Jesus as we can. Even on a cloudy, rainy Sunday morning, I need to hear about Jesus. I need to hear about him. I need to have him speak into my life and speak into my situation and give me hope and give me a reason to keep pressing on. I need to hear from him. As a matter of fact, before you come to church, pray that God speaks to you. It had nothing to do with Henry Davis. No. Lord, I need a word that's going to help me. We've got cancer survivors. We've had COVID survivors. And now we got the variant that's going up. We don't know where it's coming from. We need to hear the message of Jesus. That's why, even when I get to a funeral, I'm going to lift the message of Jesus. At a wedding, I'm going to, Keisha, I'm going to lift Jesus. Keisha's getting married next weekend. She slipped into worship. She got those diva glasses on, but she's going to be walking down the aisle next week. She don't look too stressed either. That's good, Keisha. I'm glad. But we need to hear the message of Jesus. Can't hear too much about Jesus. You got 24-hour news. You got downloads of music. You can entertain yourself. You got Netflix and HBO Max, and you got all these Pandora, all these kind of acts. But we need to hear the message of Jesus as much as possible. That 17th verse is that so faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. I'm thanking God that I got faith the size of a mustard seed, and that faith had to grow up. And I believe that's why we're here today, because we're taking it seriously. Satan, you will not rule my life. You will not dash my dreams. You will not hold me down. But I'm going to come to the house of God, lift up my hands, clap my hands, give God praise. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I'm taking it seriously. Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Yes, yes, take it seriously. Everybody who loves the Lord got to take it seriously. Because every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Yes! You better take this seriously. I don't know who needed to hear that today or who needed to be reminded of that, but you better take it seriously.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody.
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park and Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park.